And again, ISIS claiming today that it's behind that attack in Tunisia. But if that's true, does it tell us any more about what is driving the group and its recruits? That's been the subject of a hot debate. And Mehdi Hassan has added his voice to it, saying Islam is not at the core of ISIS. Hassan is a presenter for Al Jazeera English, and he wrote a cover story in The New Statesman all about this. Mehdi Hassan, welcome. And I want to start with a clip from our interview with Graham Wood, who wrote in The Atlantic that ISIS is very Islamic.
To say that they're not Islamic is to deny that the practices that they're implementing exist in the Quran, in the Hadith, and are part of Islamic tradition. They simply are. And in a way, it's a sort of silly whitewashing to describe what they do as un-Islamic.
Mehdi Hassan, you make the case that he's wrong.
It's not just me, Jeremy. I mean, I'm not an Islamic scholar, nor are you, nor is Graham Wood, but I find it fascinating that Graham wrote a 10,000-word essay in which he found no space to interview any Islamic scholars. Islamic scholars across the world, whether conservative or liberal, Sufi or Salafi, Shia or Sunni, they've all come out against ISIS. And Graham may say, well, you know, it's silly, it's whitewashing, but, you know, not a single Islamic scholar thinks that what ISIS is doing is Islamic. And I think we've got to take some of this stuff seriously from Islamic scholars. And take ISIS, a group which beheads aid workers, which rapes young girls. We've got to take their propaganda a little less seriously. And I worry that journalists like Graham are swallowing their propaganda a little too uncritically.
But just because the vast majority of Muslims around the world say that it's not Islam, couldn't it still be that they are relying on words in the Quran and that's what drives them?
Okay, well, let's unpack that, Jeremy. It's a very good question. Let's unpack that into two very brief things. Number one, are they relying on words of the Quran? Yes, clearly they're cherry-picking verses of the Quran. Clearly they're using Islamic language. Why wouldn't they? It's a very good recruiting sergeant. It's, you know, they're in a region of the world where people take faith seriously. So if you want to attract people to your cause, you say it's holy, you say it's Islamic. The experts I interviewed in my piece, for example, Mark Sageman, the CIA psychiatrist, terrorist expert, he points out that religion is used as a justification. They need to legitimize what is fundamentally illegitimate behavior. So they, you know, they quote scripture. They want to sound like holy warriors. As President Obama put it, they crave legitimacy. And religion is one way of getting it. We shouldn't give it to them. On the second part of your question about this is what motivates them, no. The overwhelming evidence suggests that religion is not the driver of radicalization. Britain's own MI5, Domestic Security Service, did a big study of terrorists. And they found that religion is actually a protector against radicalization. It's religious novices. It's people with no knowledge of Islam who've had a very irreligious upbringing. They're looking for a new identity, a new cause, a new motivation. And actually, religion protects you against radicalization. In fact, there was a case, I mentioned it in my piece, where a couple of wannabe jihadists from Birmingham in the UK who were sent to prison last year, they bought two books from Amazon.com before they set up for Syria. Those two books, Jeremy, were Islam for Dummies, right, and the Quran for Dummies. Which kind of sums it up for me.
Well, then what is driving people, in your view, to join ISIS? And what is driving the people at the center of ISIS to do what they're doing?
I think that's the $64,000 question in particular, especially on Western young people who are going out, men and women who are going out to fight. Clearly, we need to understand what's motivating them. It's a variety of factors, I think. I don't think there's any one issue. Clearly, kind of a warped interpretation of Islam plays a role. But as I say, the people who have analyzed these guys, who've studied their lives, who've interviewed the people who've been convicted, they're saying, look, the common traits are they're on the fringes of society. They're suffering from identity crises. Look at the guys who went into the Charlie Hebdo buildings, you know, these are people who are looking for a cause. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for glamour, glory, thrill. You know, throughout history, Jeremy, we've had people, young men in particular, going out to fight for what they thought were kind of ideological causes. 100 years ago, it was anarchism. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was communism or Marxism. Today, it's quote-unquote Islamism. It's this kind of great anti-establishment, anti-Western fight where you can go out and, as I say, quote-unquote, be a holy warrior. There's no coincidence that these groups have arisen in some of the most war-torn, repressed, you know, divided parts of the world. Iraq and Syria are broken countries, and those are the countries in which terrorist fringe extremist groups obviously thrive.
So, Mehdi Hassan, if what you're saying is the case, and I guess this is one view, there are many others, are there Islamic terrorists out there, do you think, in any group that are based firmly in the words of the Quran? Or do you think that the idea of terrorism that is tied directly to Islam is just that just doesn't exist?
Well, no, again, let me unpack those into two things. Are there people who are motivated by faith, who, you know, who genuinely believe they're involved in some kind of holy war, some messianic fervor, the kind of people Graham describes? Clearly, there are going to be some, as there were in the Branch Davidians, or there are in the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda. There are some kind of nutters who clearly do understand their faith in that weird way and are, do think they're involved in some cosmic holy struggle. Are they the majority? Not necessarily. And as I say, you know, the French former hostage, Didier Francois, who was released by ISIS, he said none of his captors talked to him about religion. They only wanted to talk about politics. So that's one point. In terms of, you know, is it tied to Islam? I would never use the phrase Islamic terrorism, nor would I use the phrase Christian terrorism, because I don't think Islam or Christianity allows for the terrorizing of innocent people. And that's why Islamic scholars, you know, 120 leading Islamic scholars wrote a point-by-point detailed rebuttal based on the Quran, based on Islamic tradition, to what Baghdadi and his ISIS minions are saying. But I think it's very unfair to come along and say, well, they call themselves Islamic, therefore we should treat them as Islamic. You know, North Korea calls itself the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea. No one seriously thinks they're democratic. So I'm not sure why we should think that the Islamic State is Islamic because they say they are.
What was 9/11 then? Was there anything Islamic about that? Because these guys that hijacked the planes and flew them into the buildings, they shaved themselves beforehand. They took part in religious traditions, clearly. They were motivated to some degree by their faith, no?
Clearly they were, but then also, if you look at their biographies of Muhammad Atta and some of those guys, there were reports that they were at strip clubs drinking the few nights before 9/11, which is, last time I checked, was not the behaviour of most religious conservative radicals. So, you know, these are messed up individuals, clearly, and if you look at the 9/11 report about what it says about people like Atta and others, is that they were hugely motivated by what they thought was, you know, crimes in their world. They wanted to strike at America, strike at Israel. But terrorism begins. If you talk to any terrorism expert, I've talked to several in my piece, they all say that when you start the conversation with these guys, it's anger, outrage, disaffection, marginalization. That's what we have to be targeting if we're going to fight back against this extremist narrative.
Mehdi Hassan with Al Jazeera English. We'll link you to his piece from The New Statesman at our website, hereandnow.org. Mehdi, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And as we said, a hot debate here. You can also listen to our interview with Graham Wood, who completely disagrees. That's at our website, hereandnow.org. And weigh in with your own thoughts. How Islamic is the so-called Islamic State, hereandnow.org.